Oh.
Still going.
Okay, now why is this happening?
Yes,
ma'am.
Okay. Let me make an effort here to pull all this together in a way that makes a lot of sense, because by the time we leave here tonight, we are going to have a business plan adequate for 100 new students in 6 weeks, right? And right now, it's all a little bit disjoint. Is that a fair assessment? So let's pull it in. And think about your marketing efforts. I'm going to give you just a couple big picture templates. These are major categories that you should really always be focused on. One major category is where you can go buy traffic with media. Media meaning television, radio, newspaper, direct mail to cold list, where you can go buy traffic with media. The nice thing about media is you don't have to do much other than write the check, right? See, it's one thing to go to a fair or a carnival and you're out there for 3 days straight, 12 hours a day, and you chewed up 36 man hours. It's something completely different that I can write a check for $3,000 and I get an ad placed or I get an infomercial placed and it draws me traffic without having me do anything other than buy the spot, right? Or in the case of TV, produce the spot once and then it just keeps running over and over and over again until everybody in your city is sick of seeing it, then you do a new one. Does that make sense? And from a standpoint, and I'm going to go through this and we'll go back. The second thing is publicity. We haven't talked about that at all yet today. Or this weekend, but I gave you that June Read book, right? If you look through the June Read book and you look through the first half of the book and you look at the DVD, of anybody in the martial arts industry ever, he was the genius master of publicity. There's no place in the world that he ever walked into that he didn't end up with an article in the newspaper, cover story in the magazine. He has all kinds of press in the former Soviet Union, now in Russia, in Korea, everywhere you go. Now, arguably, sometimes he should have had me looking over his shoulder because he generated publicity that wasn't necessarily driving back to anything productive for him. So sometimes it's publicity for publicity's sake. But I don't think I've ever seen anybody who was more of a genius at publicity than June Reed was. And so the nice thing about publicity is you put labor into generating it, but it doesn't cost you anything. In other words, sometimes you luck out and you end up with the full page and the back cover of the newspaper for free, where if you had bought that, heck, in New York if you bought it, it was $50,000 or $75,000 or $100,000. You know, in Denver, if you bought it, it was $6,000 or $7,000, right? So a lot of times, you can hit a home run. Now, Don was floating in and out of here. Back when Don was here, we were doing a cardio kickboxing program, and we ended up with the front cover of the style section of the major daily paper on the cardio kickboxing program as a freebie, because it was a story about it. We had, I think, 150 info calls within 48 hours from that story. Didn't cost anything but sending press releases to the news and so forth, right? The bad thing about publicity is it's completely unpredictable. Sometimes by random chance. Years ago, we were doing a lot of broadcast facts as advertising, and we ended up by accident having the news channels on the broadcast facts thing aimed at consumers. And we ended up with a whole bunch of TV publicity, good publicity, because they got our fax advertisements and thought it was interesting, so we ended up on the morning news and the afternoon news and so forth, right? So it's something that over the years, I have never relied on it as a primary driver, and I've never put together a business plan planning on a certain number of calls or enrollments from publicity. But a concerted effort on an ongoing basis, dripping on the media regularly with interesting things, is mostly you'll hear nothing but crickets, and then occasionally you'll hit it out of the park, right? And the better off you can find current news going on that ties to something that we're doing and leapfrog on that news, the better off you are. That's why every day, you know, pull up your USA Today app or subscribe to USA Today, watch the major daily papers, watch the local newscast, and it can be anything from a rape or murder to, on a more positive end, it can be you had a child with leukemia who got their black belt when they were 12. I mean, there's all ends of the spectrum, and we've had full page on in the newspaper exactly that. A young lady who was like 20 who had, was suffering from leukemia and got her black belt, and it was we got a full page on that too. Stories about one of our 14-year-old girls, somebody tried to grab her as she was walking down the street, and she kicked them and ran away, and we ended up with everything, including a spot on the Montel Williams show. And then the show got canceled before we actually got on there, but it was on it was on international satellite radio, and it was even Black Belt Magazine and Taekwondo Times picked it up. So, but mostly for our purposes, the major daily papers covered it. And then we had a little event where the mayor of Westminster came and presented her a citation, and a couple of channels came out with a TV. So you're always looking for interesting human interest inside your school. That's why you want to know everything that's going on. So, and some of it is disabilities. Girl with leukemia, blind kid gets their black belt, deaf kid gets their black belt. Some of it is interesting tie. You know, they have an interesting relative or something like that. Some of it is celebrity. I mean, the thing that kicked off Billy Blanks was he was in the right place and had a bunch of Paula Abdul and all those guys taking lessons from him. So the infomercial was all these celebrities, and therefore it worked, right? So you always want to be on the lookout for who's in your school that would be a good tie, or where there's a good backstory. And then you're looking for what's going on in the news and how does something you're doing tie into that. Does that make sense? What a lot of martial arts schools try to do is they send press releases on their latest belt testing, or we just promoted 10 black belts. Well, nobody cares about that. That's boring and uninteresting. However, if it's some really cool human interest story, or there's something, you know, there's some local tragedy that if they had self-defense skills, it would have improved, and now you do a free community awareness class, you can get the news channels to pick up on stuff like that. On that particular example, I'd always be very careful. Unfortunately, Denver's had a couple of tragedies, right? We had Columbine, and we had that big movie theater shooting. I did nothing attached to either one of those. Never would have. I mean, that's too opportunistic looking, as well as, frankly, just, you know, wouldn't play well. Okay. So the next major category is online, and of course we've talked about that quite a bit, but you want to think about and experiment with Groupon, Living Social, etc. I can tell you in the room, there's very high performance schools. Eric is on one end of the spectrum of, I'm tired of all that cheap junk traffic, I don't want them anymore, right? You're in that spectrum with the cardio kickboxing. There's others who recently have hit it and liked it and had good results with it, and everything in between. So it is something to be looking at from a standpoint of, you just did 20 things and nothing's working, go try Groupon and Living Social. If nothing else, it's nice to have traffic, right? On the other hand, you got plenty of traffic, that's kind of the wrong thing to be doing. The next thing, which we've all only touched on, is the social media. Okay? Does anybody feel like you've had really good results with Facebook or LinkedIn or any of the social media things? Yeah, that's what, yes, sir, go ahead.
I think we've had really good results with retention.
Okay, good. That's where I was going next. Is, think about it this way. Is, the way that Facebook is set up now, if you have a bunch of your students who have gone and liked your page and you get a feedback, the groups thing is touchy, by the way. Because if you have a group and you let anybody come into the group, now you can have somebody come and try to poach people. Or what you have a tendency to have online is only the top 5% most enthusiastic and the top 5% most pissed to participate. So you've got to be careful about that. But from a retention standpoint, as one other tool to keep your students engaged, I think there's a lot of benefit to that. And it's something that we haven't exploited or explored enough. So really take a look at getting your students engaged with that. And nowadays, you know, I was down at Bill Clark's, and one of the things he's really adamant about is every one of their staff you know, they check in every day on Foursquare when they walk into school, and they have Foursquare linked into LinkedIn and LinkedIn to into Facebook, and it's showing up a lot in the feed. The other idea was, the other idea was every new student who enrolls, you take a picture of them with the instructor with their new uniform on, take a picture of them, post it on the school Facebook, and then tag the kid so it shows up on their feed, and then they hopefully start sharing it. So those are useful. What I will say mostly is going in and spending a lot of time on your Facebook page and all that stuff is mostly wasting your time. You've got to be careful about that. Eric, you've done more experimentation probably than anybody else on pay-per-click on Facebook, trying to target in a more educated audience. How's that working so far?
Yeah, so that was a brilliant idea at first, because we could target so well.
Yeah.
But really, poor results off of it. And, I don't totally understand why yet, but...
When you say poor results, poor conversion, or just nobody clicked?
People click, but they don't call. They click and they look, but then that's it.
Yeah, we just, like, they look, they would even be on the website for a while. But not a good conversion. It just, obviously it had a background of relatedness, but it just wasn't it.
Yeah.
Another with the Facebook is, as you said, managing the staff, you know, help staff on there, managing their time. Mm-hmm. And then the other was there's some negativity on there that you care about.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I think you're alluding to is you've really got to make it clear to staff, and a lot of times you have younger staff, that anything that goes up online is public. I had one of our assistant instructors, and he had a picture of him from Cancun with a bong in his face. It's like, are you kidding me? But, I mean, 20-year-olds don't know any better. And so the younger staff especially, and sometimes younger means, you know, 49 and mentally haven't grown up, but they don't get that Facebook isn't only like their college buddies that are going to see it. The other thing is if they have a personal page, you don't want to let them have students on their personal page, because now what the students are seeing probably isn't appropriate for them to see. Unless it's a page that they're mature enough and only going to use as more or less a business tool and are going to stage manage what gets seen. So it's a very, very difficult thing. I'll tell you on the Facebook, there's three or four things. One is being in a Facebook pay-per-click is a completely different world than a Google pay-per-click, because a Google pay-per-click only shows up when they're searching for something. In other words, it's like the Yellow Pages, right? The Facebook pay-per-click is like you went to church and you're sitting in the auditorium, and over here on the side there's an advertisement, right? So you didn't go to the place looking for buying the thing. And you're trained to ignore the ad. So to begin with, the ads that are showing up in Facebook, they're trained to ignore. Second thing is Facebook has conditioned you to only like go like it. And most people don't click on, go to a landing page, get opt-in, and convert. They go like a bunch of stuff, and then they have this weird thing of you show up in their feed every so often. But it's like Twitter. I mean, the only people I've ever heard that are making any money on Twitter are like going and getting a huge number of followers through kind of devious means, and then they're posting 100 tweets a day. Now think about that, 100 tweets a day. I mean, you know, what a waste of time. So I would say mostly this stuff is a waste of time, but I agree with Eric is that there's some good student interaction and student involvement. And certainly like in the DePalma's case back here, when you have a multi-school operation for you guys, for me, it's one more iteration where you can get all the students engaged. The biggest problem, I think, when you have multi-school operations, if you let each school be an independent fiefdom, you have problems. But if you keep it all one big organization and all the black belts are training with each other and they're all knowledgeable about each other and all the staff are training with each other, and then you get all the students thinking about it as an organization, not that I'm a member of this one, not this one, or this one, not this one, it keeps organization cohesiveness. Does that make sense? And left to its own devices, it ends up being territorial. Certainly the staff end up being territorial, so you got to work on all those things. The other thing, obviously online, is we spent a lot of time, and we'll go back to it, but search engine optimization, pay-per-click, etc. But the major categories are online, publicity by media. And the next one is community outreach. And just kind of generalizing about community outreach is this, is you have everything from I'm looking for building my kids program and I'm working directly with elementary schools, to you're working with a national or a major sports franchise and working with them, and I've seen everything in between. You know, Jeff Smith has worked with the Washington Redskins and ended up with a bunch of players and the players' kids, and then, you know, publicity because the players' kids. I mean, at one end of the spectrum, it's that. At the other end of the spectrum, it's I'm going out to a fair or a carnival setting up a booth. The De Palmas mentioned earlier that that's one of the home runs they've had this year. The schools that I've seen that have the absolute biggest intro flow, not necessarily of high quality intros, but big flow, is from those kind of events. So, again, whether it's like our guys in Fresno or whatever it might be, is you go out to the fair or the carnival or the movie theater. And by the way, the movie theater, we're not talking about just when Karate Kid is playing, although it helps. But if you had been out in the movie theater the opening weekend of Spider-Man, or been out the opening weekend of Madagascar, you probably could have booked 150 appointments that weekend too. And it's an easy enough thing. We've got a deal with National Cinema Media. I think for $800 for a weekend, you can rent the booth if you can't talk the theater manager into letting you in for free, and they cover 85% of the screens in the United States. So, you know, there's a lot of ways to go about cutting that. Does that make sense to everybody? The other thing to be thinking about in this is always what businesses you can be going and working with, right? So who else is there out there? Preferably local, not national businesses. If they are national businesses, preferably franchises, not corporate. Why do I say that? The closer you have to an on-site owner, the closer you are to getting it approved. The more layers you have to work up through on a national basis, the harder it is. It's much easier to get a McDonald's franchisee to work with you than to get a corporate-owned store to work with you, because they have to feed it up to Chicago in a corporate store. And the franchisees oftentimes will ask forgiveness rather than permission. That makes sense? So all the way through, when you're looking at businesses to work with, you know, look at the big local business. And by the way, even like Kids Sports League, a lot of those are now national franchises. Around here, one of them is I-9 Sports. So go find the owner of the franchise for the Kids Flag Football Lacrosse thing and do a co-promotion with him for the kids market. Does that give you some ideas? So then the next category you should always be working on, and we haven't spent a lot of time on it either yet this weekend, but if you could completely fill your school with referrals, assuming two things. One is assuming that you have some students, right? Because you've got to have critical mass. So when you're at 200, 300, 400 students, you can do a lot of traffic from that. If you're at a small number, it's hard. But assuming the other thing as well is that the current students you have look like what you want. And when I say look like what you want, I mean by age and demographic, right? So if I've got an awful lot of broke people and I don't want to keep having broke people, I don't want referrals from them, right? And if I have a huge kids program, that's not great referrals for my adult MMA program I'm trying to build, or vice versa, right? So assuming you have that, the other thing we haven't spent a lot of time on so far is family add-ons. And we were talking to a few people on the side about tuition pricing. And we mentioned it yesterday, but we basically went to on the franchises. It's full price for one person, multiply the price times two, and it's a family membership. Now, you can argue this back and forth and spreadsheet it on if you're going to make more money or not, one thing or another. But what I like about it is that we end up with, in the kids' side, an awful lot of two kids in the family, and now we get mom added. And once we've got mom added, what happens to the dropout rate? Plummets. What happens to the renewal rate? Skyrockets. What happens to the attendance? Much more consistent, right? So that's the main thing, frankly, of all of it that I like. I like having a parent in class, and what we get is about 85% moms, sometimes 75% moms, 25% dads, 15% dads. So it makes for the kids' environment a much, much better environment. There is one thing that we didn't mention before that you have to do that, is you've got to have family classes and adult classes, not kids' classes and adult classes. And you certainly can't do the whacked out Melanie Schumann thing of having like five different age categories and they're all age appropriate and they cycle through here and there. That doesn't work, right? You know, a Little Ninjas program is fine as long as it's designed to mainstream them into the regular kids' classes. But if you have kids' classes and then adult classes, there's no such thing as offending a 7-year-old that parents are in class. But I'm a 28-year-old adult male. I don't want to come in and take classes with kids. Does that make sense? So it works just fine that way. So I've seen a couple people implement that idea and just change all their classes. They're all family classes, then can't figure out why their parent enrollment quadrupled and their adult enrollment otherwise went to zero. Well, it's because, you know, the adults coming in on themselves didn't want to come into a kindergarten. They wanted to come into a real martial arts program, so you got to keep those two separate. Is that making sense? Eric, with your kids' program, are you letting parents take with the kids?
No, what we're looking at is building a program where they can train together, like at, right after class.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting ready to certify some of the parents to assist.
Yeah.
Training,
especially in your format right now, I would make all the kids' classes family classes. And then keep everything else separate. And then just mainstream them together with the kids for all the parents. Unless they want to take anything else in addition or separate, and that's fine. How many kids do you have now?
89.
Okay. Let's round it off to 100. If you have 100 kids and you're doing this regularly, you should have 50 parents. Maybe as many as 60 parents. So my rule of thumb is about half the kids I get one or both parents enrolled. Usually one, and about 75% of the parents we get enrolled will be moms. Okay. Yeah. Yes. By the way, everybody knows your own tendency to overcomplicate everything. If there's a complicated approach, and a sophisticated complicated approach, and a simple approach, do the simple approach. If there's a simple approach that reduces man hours you have to put in, your own or somebody else's, or a little bit better, really complicated, sophisticated approach that adds 20 man hours a week, let's say, do this one, right? Especially to make it clonable. When you get into multiples, complication is death. Simple is clonable, right? So you've always got to move towards simple. There's another question over here.
When you do your family classes, yeah. Like a lot of times we'll have kids join it into an upgrade program, mm-hmm. and then mom or dad wants to start, so they're in two different classes.
Enroll mom or dad straight into the upgrade program. Yeah. The true story, and you know I haven't directly been in the schools very much the last couple of years, but I was in one of the schools here. And there was a boy, 9, 11-ish, and he was taking class, and I'm walking him through the leadership upgrade process, and there's salt of the earth, you know, solid middle class family, dad works for the government, geological agency, mom is a part-time at a daycare. And now they have the daughter who's, and not that it's relevant to the story, but all the kids are adopted, so... But they have the daughter who's a little older who now has decided she wants to come in. And I'm in the process of this is going to be a big leadership renewal. And they come in to me and say, oh, she wants to try it. I said, okay. So I let her take a couple of intros, and now I'm talking to them. And in my mind, what I was trying to do is get the boy into leadership and get the girl to enroll in the basic program. Okay. And actually, I was trying to get the girl to come back to another intro to see if she was really solid. So truthfully, in my mind, I was focused on the renewal and wasn't going to get the girl enrolled today. Once I caught myself and figured out how stupid I was being by actually listening to mom's tone and dad's body language, it ended up being they wrote a check for $27,500 for a family leadership program, and I added mom into the class as well. Right? Except I was in the process of, and I tell the story because I know better, you know, I was being a moron, but I was just so focused on this, I missed the fact that they were ready to do all this other stuff. So it was first intro, enroll the daughter to leadership, right? And 6 weeks into the program, enrolled the son to leadership. And by the way, this isn't a rich family. Dad's hand was shaking as he wrote the check. Right? I mean, he said, how much is it? And I said, $27,500. He said, $27,000? Yeah. Let me look. And it was a line of credit on it was a second mortgage, whatever, a HELOC check. So he's looking, and he had like $32,000 left on the line of credit. Okay, I can do that. Really? When do you want me to pay it? Oh, well, you know. 2 minutes from now would be good. You could start writing now. And so, but they wrote a check for the thing, right? And so with families, we'll always make every effort to get them in the same thing, doing the same thing. Now, that admittedly, that's tough if the child has been training for a year and now you're going to add mom in, right? Because you got to figure out how eventually to get some semblance of idea they're going to train together. But that's also why most of the family add-ons are going to happen in the first month or two anyway. Okay. Yeah, you know, well, the irony is, we either get the family add-ons in the first month or two, or the kid just got her black belt and now mom adds on, right? And I'd much rather have had them trained together the whole way. So, is this making sense to everybody? Now, the other thing on referrals, I've said it two or three times, but I really want you to anchor it in. Master Smith talked about guest passes and some of that stuff, but the reality is, truly, that if you give videotapes and the introductory packages and big mail pieces and guest passes and 20 other things, like ASF mails out what they call Pass a Friend, so they mail out 6 guest passes. None of that stuff works worth a crap. Okay? You can get some traffic on it, but it's not like it's something you're going to count on. What does work really well is creating an event at the school where I feel comfortable inviting my friends because it's cool. And then when I invite my friends because it's cool, having a good system in place to capture the lead, schedule them for an introductory class, and convert them to an enrollment. And if that cycle doesn't happen immediately, capture the lead and mail to them until they die or move to Alberia, so that I eventually capture them. Does that make sense? So the list of things you can do with that is endless. Birthday parties is one of the things. The program that Toby put together on pizza parties is another thing, which is better because you don't have to wait till birthday rolls around. But there's an enormous number of things you can do. The Kovars used to do a real nice, just like a high school graduation invitation, that for every student graduating at every belt level, they would go print 10 or 12 or 15 of them and give it to the kids as a pre-printed invitation to invite all their friends to the graduation, and they gave them an envelope so they could mail it to their friends, right? It's a great idea. The belt graduation, and by the way, it's why you separate exam from graduation, right? I don't want to bring my friends to the exam. I don't know if I'm going to pass or not, but I know I passed. I want to come see me perform, right? So you separate the graduation, and then you invite all the friends, get all the friends as witnesses, and convert them. Everybody's good with that? So, but these are the major categories. You should always be focused on media, focused on generating publicity, working online. Again, I walked you through some of the demographics before, but the women's market, Groupon, all of that kind of stuff, you can flood yourself with traffic. Some of the traffic will be junk traffic, okay? On the other hand, adult men, adult MMA, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, there's a flood of traffic there. You can go buy clicks all day long. You just got to make sure you sort yourself out and don't get in the UFC fan page group of people, that you're looking for people who are looking to train in something, right? How many clicks a month would you say you get, Eric?
I don't know how to share that.
Okay. How many intros a month from online sources? Guesstimate.
Intros, like 60, 65.
Yeah. From online, right? Now, if I'm doing 12-year-old character development for kids, anybody who has a different experience, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can't get that kind of intro flow for a kids program right now. Anybody having big intro flow for your kids program from purely online sources? Most of the kids programs that I hear that are doing a really good job with online traffic is they're driving them from offline media to online as the first step of the info call, and then driving them back offline to call. But they're not getting pay-per-click or search engine optimization to drive huge floods, right? Mike Perella has the I Love Kickboxing thing. He also has a bunch of kids' sites and other stuff. I've never heard anybody who's happy with the traffic on the kids' sites that he's doing. because there just isn't enough clicks coming through. There's not enough searches coming through for that to work very well. On the I Love Kickboxing, you know, sites, he can do a flood of traffic, especially when you overlay Groupon. Now the question is whether the price points are right and the structure is right and the conversion rate's right. And we have different people with different perspectives on that in here. Is this making sense so far? Okay, now having said that, is when you do your marketing planning, and this is very important, and if you're a multi-school operator, what I always did every month, and really every week we would talk about it, but every month, about a month out, is we'd have everybody together in the same room and we'd put together an organization-wide marketing plan. And I would always know some of the guys were going to like going out and working in the elementary schools, and some of them were going to like going out and doing a fair and carnival, and some of them were going to like doing a bunch of big events, and that's fine. So you don't want to just dictate directly what each of them are going to do, because individually, if you let them do what they're turned on by, they'll do better, right? But, so that's why I always had like the menu for them. But when you're doing the planning, I want you to think about it in this format. Is you write down what it is you're going to do. So let me start at the top on some of the things Master Smith was talking about. We're going to do bandit signs. And we're going to put 200 of them out. And we've done this a few times so far, let's say. So my guesstimate is we'll get 15 info calls from it, right? And now what my guesstimate is worst case scenario on the bandit signs, if things go not completely as planned, let's say it's 3. Okay? So what I'm going to do is give like a high expected number and my Murphy's Law number. Everybody understand what I'm doing? And what's the only number I really care about for planning purposes?
The low one.
Murphy's Law, right? The low one. And what's that?
Appointments, though, or leads?
Appointments?
You know, in practical terms, I always do it in terms of actual enrollments, right? So how many actual enrollments might I expect from this? And so now let's do something easy like rack cards, and I'm going to have 400 rack cards out. How many enrollments do I think I might, you know, and these numbers aren't necessarily realistic. Let's say that's 5 to 0, okay? And so I'm going to have 400 rack cards out. How many enrollments might I expect? 5, worst case, 2, right? And then I'm going to have a big fair that's coming up. And what do I expect? 150 appointments and 30 enrollments. So I've got 30 here. What's my worst case? There's the worst gale force tornado in the history of the state, and it gets canceled, right? So my worst case is none, and maybe if we muck it up a lot, we get 5, right? So really, I mean, the problem with like outdoor events is they cannot happen, right? And so then I'm going to go through, keep going through my list, and I'm going to do direct mail, and I'm going to do a marriage mail. So I'm going to have a Valpak, money mailer, and a Red Plum. And this one is going to be $380, and this one is $600. And this one at a nickel a piece, I'm going to do $10,000. So it's, what is that, quickly? $500. Okay. So over here, I'm going to spend $1,500. And probably I'm going to get 2 enrollments. Worst case is, let's say, 0, 1, 1, right? So then I'm going to keep going to the list. And the next thing I'm going to do is there's a big church carnival. Church down the street has 5,000 members. They expect 1,000 people are going to show up for their carnival. I'm going to expect that I'm going to get 100 appointments, and the 100 appointments is going to convert to 20 enrollments, and worst case might be 5. Everybody with me so far? And then I just keep going through the list, right? What's that?
Could you say those numbers again? You would get probably
100.
Well, and of course, I'm all making this up because, you know, these are fictitious events. But let's say it's a church carnival likely to have 1,000 people there. you know, I might be able to get 1 out of 10 in an environment like that. Now, if it was an event with 10,000 people there, I might be able to get 150. Right? It doesn't scale. But what I'm trying to extrapolate is, you know, what's my ideal case? Everything works right, and then what's my Murphy's Law? Something doesn't go well, right? And I'm going to keep going through the list. And what I want is, so let's pick a number that I need to have to be at my I'm happy this month. So on a monthly basis, let's say this is 20. And maybe over here, everything goes right with the world is 75. Now, our mission is to build a business plan so that over, worst case, 2 months, that this number is 100, right? But let's say this is a normal month. So if you don't go through this type of process, and I always format it exactly this way. I mean, we'll have a big paper pad and we'll be talking about it, and my program director say, oh yeah, we're going to do this fair, and what do you expect? Oh, I think we can get 30 enrollments. Well, fantastic. What's the worst case scenario? Well, I don't know. We did one and it got rained out. We only got 3. Okay, well, let's plan on 3, and you think you're going to do 30. Good. Why don't we cut the middle and say it's likely to be 15, and worst case it's 3, and then we keep building the plan, right? Because the worst thing you can do in your marketing is be optimistic, right? I mean, I want to go out to any event and be optimistic, but in my planning, I want to be extremely pessimistic. I guess why I kind of want to assume that I'm going to, you know, hit a single on a bunch of them, strike out on a couple, and hit some doubles, and I'm still okay. Does that make sense? Okay. And so, you know, maybe next is I'm going to do the fundraiser community children's hospital flyer, and we're going to distribute 50,000 of them, and I'm going to guess that that's going to be good for 15 enrollments, and worst case maybe it's good for 5 enrollments, and I just keep building the scenario. Does that make sense? Okay. And so on all of this stuff, when we go back to the media, the only thing I care about media is return on investment. You've got to be very careful not to get sucked into thinking of success or failure based upon how many pieces went out and what kind of return you got, right? So let me give you an example. If I had 10,000 good names of prospects and all 10,000 of them got the ValPak coupon, how many responses am I likely to get? 1 or 2. Okay. On the other hand, I went out to 10,000 pieces with full color oversized postcards. How many am I likely to get? Well, first of all, the number is 40 cents a postcard into the mail. So 10,000, 40 cents, that's $4,000. If I got 4 enrollments, I would be okay. I wouldn't be jumping up and down, but I'd be okay. If I got 10 enrollments, I'd be jumping up and down, right? So when I evaluate, I've got to kind of start with that return on investment scenario, right? So then let's say that's 10,000 mailed, and I might get 10 enrollments, which probably translates to 17 calls, because they're going to be pretty solid if they call, right? Now, the next iteration of that is I've got 10,000 good names, and I send them a FedEx package with a letter with a dollar bill on the top, with a little trophy inside, with a 28-page sales letter combined with a 112-page color testimonial booklet combined with a DVD and a CD. Well, now the package out the door cost me, well, $7 plus with the FedEx, right? So let's say that I got a good deal in FedEx and it's a $20 package, right? Well, now how many percentage do I need to get to respond to pay for it? Well, 20,000 times 10,000, that's a $200,000 marketing plan, right? And in reality is I would never do that to a cold list, right? What I would do is a bunch of fairly cheap things to a cold list until I got to raise their hand a little bit. Then I'd spend a lot of money on a fairly warm list. Does that make sense? But you want to be thinking about your media that way all the time. So far, so good? Okay. Now, the next question is, so, again, let's do the 100 people for the marketing plan here. What we're going to do is split up into groups in just a couple minutes. And when we split up into groups for a couple minutes, your project, and it's about an hour time limit, not a Jeff Smith hour, a hour by the clock, right? Is we have two round tables set up over there you're welcome to use. We have two round tables set up over here you're welcome to use. There's three or four round tables outside, which is really nice out right now. There's some round tables downstairs below the restaurant you're welcome to use. But we're going to split up into groups. And we have about 60 people in the room. So if we keep the groups to 10 or less, that's six groups. So maybe we'll split up into about six groups. And the mission is take an hour and between you come up with a marketing plan that your target is September 1st to October 15th to have 100 new students. Now, I don't care if they're adults, kids, women's kickboxing. If you're doing a women's kickboxing program at $69 a month, fix your pricing, but I wouldn't focus on trying to flood yourself with low-quality, low-priced things. But the focus is what's the plan to get 100 new students, right? And what I would say is, although you should be working on social media, don't count on any of that as any traffic. Although you should be working on publicity, don't count on that as any traffic. Don't factor into the plan. We're going to get a home run, and the New York Times is going to do a full-page feature on us this month, because you might get that. Likely aren't, but you might get that. So you never count on publicity. I do have a friend of mine, Chris Rapold. We have a great recording. He, over 10 or 15 years, had 560 newspaper articles on his school. Okay, I mean, that's a lot. Now, he wasn't flooding his school with traffic, but he had gotten really good at being on. He was on the Columbine School Committee in his local school district, and he was on the Chamber of Commerce, and he was in the PTA Parent Community Support Group. And I mean, he was part of every little thing. And then from every angle, he was constantly getting publicity in the school. Doesn't hurt. Again, the best I've ever seen in the industry was June Reed. I mean, June Reed was constantly. I mean, his tournament one time, he had the Republicans versus the Democrats, and it played on CNN International 24 hours a day for a week. So on headline news, every 30 minutes, they did a two-minute clip on the June Reed Internationals and the Republicans versus the Democrats. I mean, literally, it was, a bunch of congressmen out there duking it out. And by the way, most of these guys were former boxers. They were pretty athletic. So it wasn't like it was they were pussyfooting around. And a lot of times it was Jeff teaching them. So, right? It was a great idea. Now, the downside of it is he volunteered 40 years of his life to show up at 7 a.m. twice a week and teach the congressional class. So was it worth it? I wouldn't have done it in retrospect. But is this making sense? So your target is October 15th, and if it's stretched out until the end of October, that'd be okay. But really, we want to focus on a six-week window, right? So if it's a six-week window for 100 students, roughly that's what, 17 a week? Is that more or less right? So 60, my math skills calculator has gone to hell.
Divided by 6?
Yeah, 100 divided by 6, 17 a week.
Looking.
Yes, that'd be 101. Okay. So that'd be 101. So 17 a week. Did the Australian iPhone confirm that? Okay, good.
16.6.
Okay, 17 a week.
It's different than the American one.
No.
16.8.
Okay, so 17 a week. So you need a marketing plan that's adequate for 17 a week, right? Now, by the way, if you need a marketing plan for 17 a week, you need a marketing plan that doesn't start ramping up on week 3 and get you up to 17 a week on week 5, because now you cumulatively have done 42 enrollments. You haven't done 100, right? You need a marketing plan where week 1 of month 1, meaning September, you do 17 or even better, right? And then the second key to building the plan is if you need 17 a week times 5 business days a week, right? How many do you need a day? You need 3 point something or other. If it's 6 business days, you need, 3 point something a day, right?
3.3.
Or 3 a day. So you want to know exactly how many you need a day. Then you want to make sure you know where your benchmarks are, right? So at the end of week 1, we need 17. The end of week 2, we need 34. The end of week 3, we need 40, 51, and so forth. If you don't have those kind of benchmarks to hold your feet accountable, by the way, it doesn't work very well, right? And if you're a multi-school owner, remember the task is this is per school, right? So if you have six schools and you do 100 enrollments in September, we're going to be pissed off because that's not enough to hit your numbers, right? And you know, keep in mind, I mean, for my numbers for 20 years is I was responsible for 120 enrollments every month. And I think the best month I ever did was 476. But, you know, it's much more important to hold yourself accountable for hitting whatever that number has to be every month. Yes?
How do you have enough time to do that?
Well, with me, I was writing big checks, truthfully. What I was doing is having staff meetings, jumping up and down and trying to motivate them and pat them on the back, which meant out of six branch managers, two of them would go run hard and do all this stuff. Two of them, I practically had to hire somebody to give them a wake-up call to get them out of bed until I found their replacement and fired them. And two would do okay with it.
But like, how do you do now, 400 conferences, intros in a month? Like, how do you do that many in a month?
It is extremely difficult.
Time-wise.
Yeah, it's you trend towards more group stuff and towards a pretty aggressive time management. In the case of the 486, that was across five locations, and that was, we were, among other things, doing big events, having group intros, having them write a check the day they were there for $99, and then doing a follow-up enrollment conference a couple of lessons later to tag them on to the year, right? Part of it was, you know, we had Jason David Frank of the Power Rangers, who's now become a 50-something MMA fighter with 72% of his body tattooed, I think, at last count. But, you know, it was when that was popular, and we managed to fill a lot of rooms to get into that, and then we would sign them the day they were there on $99, and we would schedule for the intro and sign them after that. But I'll attribute the idea for that particular blitz to my ex-wife. And we were having kind of a lull, to tell you the truth. And, in fact, Greg Macy, who's here somewhere. No, he's not. Okay. Greg, who was here a little bit ago, handled all of it, frankly. What her comment was is, well, you did so well at always doing grand openings. Why don't you just have a re-grand opening for the entire organization? It's what Craig and KC needed to do, right? Why don't you just have a re-grand opening for the entire organization? And given the source, I thought it was a really stupid idea. Until I thought about it for a while, right? That's why you never try to let the ex-wife go sell the ex-husband I'm paying for the kid for something. But I thought it was a really stupid idea, but luckily I'm good at stepping back and going, well, maybe that wasn't a stupid idea. So we did a re-grand opening on the entire organization, right? So what I did is I spent basically 6 months worth of budget in 1 month. And then we did all the stuff that I would have done with the grand opening I wouldn't have done any other times. We put balloons on the roof, and we bought bus benches, and we did bandit signs, and we did pole signs, you know, the 11x17 cardboard things, and we did flyers everywhere, and I bought every ValPak money mailer, all the stupid little marriage mail things that I hate otherwise, and we did a blitz through all of the lead database across all the schools, which luckily then was pretty robust, and I bought a lot of TV time. Bought infomercial time in 30-second spots, and then we brought Jason in, and we promoted that like crazy, and we used the Jason thing as a charitable fundraiser, so I got PSAs on all the TV stations. So we cut a PSA about come meet Jason, Dave, and Frank as a special fundraiser for Children's Hospital. I got all the radio stations, and I got all the TV stations to comp them and run it for free, because the money that was going to be raised to come, you know, do the thing with Jason, David, Frank, that we were paying all the expenses for, was going to go to Children's Hospital and some other stuff. But I mean, it gives you an idea, right? So it was just, did everything. But the PSA thing, by the way, is an easy one to do. You've got to orchestrate it. But you can have a big charitable fundraiser. Then you can cut a 30-second TV spot, a 60-second TV spot, create the script for the radio stations. Then you can bicycle it out to all the radio stations and the TV stations. And when they have unsold time, they put in public service announcements and they run it for free. So it's one of those things you can do to generate it, as long as you're doing it as a fundraiser for a reputable local charity especially. Does that make sense? So I think that answers the question. But you know, mostly it's most of us are you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, we're usually on a 4 or 5, right? We're kind of running our business on a regular basis on autopilot. So the idea of forcing yourself to go to big numbers, what it does is it's kind of like Zig Ziglar's old thing of if you packed a week's worth of work into one day, why don't you just keep doing it? Same thing with your marketing. If you pack 6 months worth of marketing into 1 month and it worked, you just keep doing it that way, right? So behaviorally acting like it, everything else.
My biggest thing is just, finding time to do, just to do that many conferences and that many enrollments, like,
mm-hmm.
to find time just to do that, like, I guess you would have to schedule them during,
Again, this is reaching back a ways, but I had one day when I enrolled 36 people. And those were one-on-one, wasn't a group intro, it wasn't throw a $99 check on the desk. What it was is we just scheduled appointments every 15 minutes. And it was me and an instructor. Did you guys see the last MA Success magazine, the red cover, Joe So? Did you see that? The latest MA. Well, it was Joe. I had him as my instructor, who barely spoke English and didn't know what the hell he was doing. But what it was is every 15 minutes, we ran an intro, and I scheduled them for every 15 minutes all day, which of course meant that some of them showed up 20 minutes late and some of them showed up 20 minutes early. So there was just an 8-hour straight intro, and he got 2 P-bakes during the day, right? And I had a jug of water sitting on the side. So he taught an 8-hour intro, and they kept coming in the intro and out of the intro, and I kept pulling them in the office and enrolling them one after the other. That way, we just set aside a Saturday and did 36 enrollments. Now, I wouldn't recommend that on a regular basis because although once you get in the groove, it's good. I mean, I've had days like that where I had 28 clipboards with pre-filled out contracts, right? Name, address, everything's pre-filled out. The prices are pre-filled out. Everything's pre-filled out. So the next one up, I can just say, here, sign there. Check or credit card, great, done to the next one. So I generally don't like, you did for a while, group intros where you're doing group presentations. What's the pluses and minuses of that?
Save a lot of program director and instructor's time to do other things.
Right.
Retention. The downside is tough to know a downside.
Yeah.
Just our numbers started slipping when the recession hit.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think that things are good again. We'll probably go back.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I perceive to be the downside. Some portion of the enrollments have an objection in their mind they don't want anybody else but you to hear. So when you have a group environment, they'll say no rather than tell you about their 7-year-old was sexually molested by their dad, right? So you have some, especially in the kids market, but you also have that in the adult market. But especially in the kids market, there's some portion of them that have something that they are fine to tell you in a student teacher role. They don't want everybody else to hear. That's the biggest downside. The other downside of a group environment is if you have one like argumentative person. And that person starts throwing out objections, is they can sour everybody else. So you've got to be careful about one, if you do a group environment, not let the argumentative person in the room. But so you got to be, yeah, go ahead.
Your first point is a good one.
Yeah.
It's built into the script.
Right.
If any of you have any personal issues, please see me after.
Good. Yeah, see, so you've got to address that, right? And so therefore, some of them you're still going to enroll privately because they want to talk to you privately. Because it's sensitive enough they don't want to discuss. How about the other one? How are you handling the occasional argumentative person?
You know, we don't get a lot of them.
Yeah. Now, that's the first answer. You don't get a lot. Because if you've done your job well, they're mostly pretty excited and enthusiastic. And frankly, if you pre-screen some, you don't let them in the room to begin with.
Yeah. But if you have to, you boot them out of the room, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you just answer strongly enough that you shut them off for the time being. Mrs. Jones, I'd be happy to, you know, answer some personal issues that you have about Billy offline. So why don't we go ahead and talk to everybody else, and then you and I will take some time in a few minutes to go over that. And then now what you're saying is shut up until later, but we'll talk about that. Yes?
I do some group or message drills as well.
Yeah.
And don't do them too often, but when we do them, we do pretty much the same thing. We give the offer.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, kind of the closing statement is, hey guys, this isn't really a hard sell. This is just a really
right.
big opportunity. We're able to offer you guys a group discount.
Yeah.
If anybody has any questions or anything like that, I'm totally available to help you guys.
Yeah.
Other than that, let's just get you started. You guys can go by at the front end. I don't even give them a chance, but if anybody wants to speak to me, because we had that in the beginning where, one, we found almost that if we could get one person to either say, say something positive in the beginning,
yeah,
then it all went well.
Right.
I almost wanted to plant somebody to say, when I say, all right, you guys ready to go, I wanted one person to say, yeah, it's the best thing ever, and then everybody else would sign up. But if you had that one person that went negative, then all of a sudden everybody else would start doubting each other and talking about the phone and calling their spouse and everything. So to just shoot that down, we didn't give time.
That's exactly right. And like on these school programs we do, first thing we do is we get the parents to start telling all the good things that their child has accomplished from doing this and all the things that they're impressed with seeing their child. So you always have, you know, the 20% who want to stand up and praise their child. So you get somebody to start, then the next one, and sooner or later you flipped it into they've all gotten up and said something. So even if they were a little negative, they gotten up and said, well, I'm really impressed with the way that Billy was bowing and paying attention. I mean, and it changes that mindset for them. But mostly it's that social proof of they're all singing the praises, and that's a good thing to point out. Good. Okay. Well, that coincides perfectly with our time to go on to the next thing. Before we go into the really putting that together, that marketing plan, anything that's a hole so far that you don't understand, especially from budget standpoint, and maybe I should address that. If you can put together this plan, two extremes or somewhere in the middle. I tend to prefer somewhere in the middle. And again, we're talking about multi-schools. I mean, for 20 years, I bought a lot of TV and bought a lot of newspaper because my mission was every school is going to do enough enrollments that I threw in the door that even the guy who sleeps in every day is going to have a break-even or better month. And then the guys who are going to go run hard and do other stuff, they're going to do phenomenal. And then I was always hoping that the two that were going to do phenomenal would inspire the guys over here enough that they get going before I fired them, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was always kind of that cycle. But in a multi-school environment, I bought a lot of traffic, right? And in today's environment, if it was MMA, I'd be all over the internet. And if it was kids, I'd be all over TV. I love TV. Especially in a multi-school environment. Are you doing much TV?
Not anymore. We used to.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you doing long form or short form?
We were doing what we had before is, yeah, it was shorter, not the long things. What
right.
We used to have is the towns individually own their
right.
companies, but then Cox came in and bought everybody out.
Yeah.
So now we just can't do the East Valley. Now it's all Phoenix. So
yeah.
The prices obviously changed. But it used to be almost like $5 a spot.
Yeah. You'll have 10 times the results buying long form.
Yeah.
So buying infomercials works much better than spot advertising. When I had good success with spot advertising, I had good success with the expensive crap, right? So we were buying Ofra every afternoon and having great results with that. But that, I mean, that was major network, citywide, expensive spots. And I could buy 1,000, you know, $5 spots on cable and not match two or three on Ofra. So, you know, you want reach and frequency when you're buying media. And the broadcast gets great reach, but if you only do it once, you've wasted your time. If you do it repetitiously so that you can hit the average viewer 7 or 8 times where you have big reach, then that's the home run. Does that make sense? And it's much better to have a targeted audience that you hit over and over and over again. Buying Ofra, what was I looking for? I was looking for moms. So I was like doing a kid spot for moms. And we also did well with 5 o'clock news. We did good with 5 o'clock news, 6 o'clock news, 10 o'clock news.
Well, one thing that I've noticed, too, because they're starting to contact me again, is
yeah.
that the rates have come
way down.
Way down. So if anybody
yeah.
wants to get into TV now, this is...
Yeah. This like, is the right time to be in newspaper or TV.
Yeah.
What I will say about newspapers, we're having great results with, like, Post-it notes on the front of the newspaper. We're having great results with newspaper inserts and ROP, like, run a paper. I think Sean's the only one who's had any... Anybody else had any good results with, like, buying regular newspaper ads last year? You're like the only one just buying regular space ads, but that's because it's Bermuda, probably.
I'm moving more to rack cards now. So.
Yeah. Well, inserts into the newspaper still seem to work just as well. The little Post-it notes where you put on the front cover of the newspaper work great, but actually buying black and white space in line, it seems like that's pretty much
it. We found a kids' newspaper that goes out to all of the schools in the area.
Yeah.
And they've got them in several different major markets. It's called Kidsville.
Yep.
And the only place that they do it all kids-associated stuff. We've gotten really good results with that. I mean, I get many calls from that every time they want to make it.
Yeah. And that is why you want to experiment a lot. Here in Colorado, there was a newspaper, I forget what it's called, but it was like that. It went directly to the elementary school kids in the elementary schools, and it went to the teachers and administration as well. Every time they did an issue, I bought the back cover. right? On the other hand, there's that parent magazine that I handed out yesterday. It's gone through two or three iterations. I've probably experimented with 3 or 4 or 5 months, full pages, page 3, page 5, inside back cover, never got it to work. On the other hand, the exact same thing in Fresno works like a charm. The same thing in other markets works like a charm. So for some reason in Colorado, they just don't read that one or they're not responsive. So it's hard to predict, right? For me, the Westward that we handed out before for cardio kickboxing worked great. I never could get it to work for kids. I would guess for MMA, that kind of alternative newspaper would work really well. And the nice thing about an alternative paper like that is people buy it for the ads. So they're buying it for, you know, in Colorado's case, the pot ads and the sex ads, among other things. But they're also, you know, I pick it up always because I look at all the concert listings, because that's where they buy the, you know, the concert ads. People buy, you know, pick it up for the restaurants and so forth, too. So, yes, ma'am.
My question is it's kind of related, but kind of not, but it has to do with, like, handling things after we put the plans that we're going to create in.
Yeah.
And for us, you know, just from talking to you, you know, that we were weak in our sales program. And I was wondering if it was possible.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, I know. to get Toby to do, like a great PowerPoint presentation, just so we'll be ready to.
Oh, as a generic sales presentation?
Yeah. Like, I mean, we could add whatever graphics to it later, but just the content, because we want to kind of put it on a TV.
Yeah.
And make it really polished.
If you'll remind us of that in a week, that'd be simple to do. Yeah. At the very least, it would have to be a women's one, a men's one, and a kid's one, though.
Okay.
Right? Because the conversational line with a kid with the parents is completely different than the conversational line for, like, an adult male for an MMA program. And the benefit statements tend to be different for men and women.
Okay.
So it would have to be three. But that's simple to do. He can, you know, any morning at 4 a.m., he can just throw one of those together. I'm not really joking on that one, though. But, yeah, remind us after September 1st, right? So let's do this. So we got a table, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? And then we have Eric stand up. You're one of our team leaders. So 1, 2, 3, 4, let's see. So stand up. We got 4 team leaders so far. That's good. Stand up. That's good. We got another team leader.
My team's going outside.
Steve, can we do a correlation of, like, what
kind
of advertising you're doing?
Hang on a second. Everybody's second-guessing the system already. This isn't anarchy. So Dave, stand up. We'll put you in charge of a group. Sean, stand up. We'll put you in charge of a group. Penny, stand up. We'll put you in charge of a group. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So we'll let Jonathan opt out of being a team member. We'll let you opt out of being a team leader, right?
Okay. So ever my team leader.
So now, Eric Sabarge has all the ones. So you're a 6. So you're a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No, you're not. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. So if you're a 2, you're with Carol. Everybody who's a 2, raise your hand. You're with Carol. If you're a 3, you're with Paul. So if you're a 3, if you're a 4, who's next? You're with Sean. If you're a 5, you're with Benny. If you're a 6, you're with Dave. Your assignment is, as a group, decide on budget, how much money you're willing to spend individually on the plan. So come to a consensus. And then 100 students, September 1st to October 15th on the Murphy's Law number. Okay? So go anywhere you want. You have that room.
Threes are going outside.
You have outside out here, outside down below by the river, and you have the lobby. We have 1 hour, by the way. So 5:15, we're back.
Six.
Eric's on.
I don't know what Eric's doing. He was just sitting right here.
Penny, what number are you?
Five.
Six.
I think he's six.
He's six.
Yeah.
You've
already got traded.
Where's group two go?
Amanda, what group are you in? Oh, that's right.
We always forget.
It's going to be a learning curve. So what is your